free speech and other civil liberties at myaclu.org.
And I guess you could say this is my WUSB.FM. It's WUSB in Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM, 107.3 FM, and over the internet at WUSB.FM. It's 6 o'clock on a delightful Tuesday afternoon, which means, once again, it's time for another edition of Off the Wall. Do have to change it. This is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein over here, Kyle over there.
Yep, Kyle.
Sorry, you just got us in the middle of a conversation. We were talking about changing the theme.
Yeah.
Because if they do overthrow him, we would need a new theme as early as next week. Because the theme changes.
That was why. Okay,
with every presidential term, the theme changes. But my concern is, can we get the committee back? They're spread all over the country right now.
One is overseas,
and we have to bring them all back or do a massive Zoom thing, which just isn't the same.
I don't know if that actually abides by the policy, the
because,
rules.
Yeah, some of the themes are on vinyl, and
it would have to be an interim. I don't think it would be a full theme because you're not under a.
Uh-huh.
There isn't a new, a replacement. It would be successive replacement, but that's always sort of like interim. It's not a permanent that's title. That's for the lawyers to figure out. It doesn't count as a vote.
That's the legal team. They figure that out. But I'm saying, you know, to hear the vinyl, you really have to be in the room with the speakers, you know, that room with the vinyl.
The good ones.
Yeah. And you can't do that online. You know, you can't even tell somebody, you know, go to Spotify. And no, it's not the same thing. You have to hear the vinyl. So if we wanted a new theme that was only available on vinyl, I'm not saying that's necessarily what would happen. But we would have to have them back. So, okay, those are the concerns that we're wrestling with here, because every week it seems more and more likely that something is going to happen at some point. Because boy, even Republicans are getting upset. Have you seen this? Republicans are really getting.
They're talking about splits.
Splits
with the sort of doctrine, the dogma.
This is fighting back for the Republicans, because Trump says do this, and they're saying, well, that's as far as they've gotten so far. But for them, that is a big deal. That's like spitting in your face. Whether they go past the comma and say something else, who's to say? But you see what happens to the ones that have said something a bit more defiant than that. Well, you're going to see it tonight, right? There's the runoff in Texas between, you know what, I know their names, but I can't recall them off the top of my head.
Tallarico?
That's a name, but I don't think that's the name.
No, that's a different race. It's like governor or something.
Well,
right?
One of them is
certifiably
insane. You know what? I'm not even sure what they're running for. I just know there's a big race in Texas.
Well, do you want a minute?
Yeah, okay, if you want to.
I was just going to... expound that races are underway. We're in the midst of campaigning. Campaigning has been ongoing. It hasn't gone away. And a lot of it has commenced and with great interest. People want to know what's going on locally and in their region and their state. They're having to come up with answers, find a way to make sure that the policies around them that they have the closest proximity to, are in their interest.
Can I interrupt
and when
you
they
just
aren't,
for a second?
They're going to change. Yeah, go
I just
ahead.
Got
I'm
a
done.
Weird ass error when going to Google. Content encoding error.
How is Google?
Well, apparently not well. The page you are trying to view cannot be shown. Hang on, I got to point this at an angle. Because it uses an invalid or unsupported form of compression. Please contact the website owners to inform them of this problem. Well, the website owners are Google. I'm going to google.com. And for once, it seems like you can't blame this on someone else. This is a Google issue. All right, I'll go to DuckDuckGo, which, by the way, folks, DuckDuckGo.com, better search engine. They don't track you.
Sounds like you didn't get the update for the internet.
Make it my fault somehow. Yeah. But I'm trying to find out.
You can't read the internet without the update.
I'm trying to find out what the race is in Texas. And go ahead, Kyle, while I...
Well, I mean, that's not the only race. I know there are others around the country. I don't know off the top of my head either. I want to say Tennessee's got some...
It's a GOP Senate nomination.
That's what it is.
Yeah, and it's okay. Between Cornyn and
Oh, this is surrounding the split.
Oh, James Tallarico is the Democratic nominee. They're going to face him in November.
In the general election.
Right, but Cornyn and
so these are primary races.
And
GOP.
Tom Paxton, not Tom Paxton, he's the singer.
Ken Paxton,
I'm sorry. Ken Paxton is the one who's insane that Trump is endorsing. I don't have to say both of those things. If I say one, the other is assumed.
It's a strong subtext.
So we'll see tonight if that endorsement is enough. But keep in mind, okay, that endorsement may be enough for the primary. Will it be enough in the election? In fact, maybe it's going to hurt in the election. In fact, there's an article in the Times that just came out. I'm just checking on my phone right now. Enter all the passwords, facial recognition. Okay. And it's loading. The page is loading. Wow, isn't technology amazing? I had the story right there in front of me, but apparently it takes longer after you enter your... Okay. Trump self-indulgence deepens GOP fears in midterms. The stupid stuff is killing our chances, said a retiring Republican senator, who apparently didn't want to be named. He's retiring. What difference does it make?
Chances are he doesn't have to be named, because whomever would be upset... already knows what they think.
Wow. So, yeah, this will be a good test tonight. You know, let's see what happens. The other good test tonight is the Spurs game to see what happens there. Knicks, my God, they're on fire. I can't believe it. Two series in a row, 4-0. All right, that's the extent of sports I'm going to talk tonight. Other than the World Cup, which isn't just sports. It's the world.
It's our job right now.
Yeah.
Okay, America, FIFA hired you. And you got your little neighborhood there. It's time to put in some elbow grease. And go out there and accommodate people.
Mm-hmm.
Harder. Okay? Like you mean it.
Did you
That's all I'm going to say about FIFA.
Did you happen to catch Newsday today?
FIFA foe. No.
Well, had you looked at Newsday.com, you would have seen front and center a kiss-ass story. Yeah.
One of them.
You know, softballs and just bowing down and praising for none other than Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman. The headline was, Bruce Blakeman faces toughest test of his political career in bid for New York State governor. And this big in-depth piece went on. I'll just read the beginning of it. I don't want to read the whole thing because it would take a whole hour. Bruce Blakeman sat inside the Cherry Valley Country Club in Garden City last year as scores of Republicans played their rounds on the green. A local political fundraiser was in full swing just weeks before he was reelected as Nassau County Executive. But Blakeman's sights were already set on becoming governor. Every politician has that dancing around their head, he said. If you've been elected village trustee, you think, oh, maybe one day I might be the president of the United States. No, not everybody thinks that. You certainly think that. Because you're, you know, a headstrong, power-hungry madman. But not everybody. Not everybody is. Anyway, it just keeps going with a bunch of just praising and softballs and nothing challenging, nothing saying all the ugliness he's behind. So, you know, I figured it wouldn't take long. It took me a few minutes. I'll go out and help balance the story just a little bit. Statements by Nassau executive are xenophobic and racist, says Latino Justice. And they ought to know because Latinos tend to be the target, because that's a group of people that Bruce Blakeman really seems to hate. In a recent interview with News 12, Nassau County executive Bruce Blakeman stated that Nassau County will support President-elect Donald Trump's policy of mass deportation. This was back in 2024, and he has since followed through on that promise quite admirably, if you're into that kind of thing. In light of this news, Latino Justice, PRLDEF, and I'm sorry, I don't know what that stands for, but it's some kind of a position. People, please spell that. Words are your friends, really. PRLDEF. I should know what that means, I guess, but I don't. All right. So somebody from Latino Justice issued the following statement that can be attributed to Lord Rosado, President and General Counsel of Latino Justice, PRLDEF. What a time we live in. The statements made by Nassau County Executive Blakeman supporting mass deportations and designating some immigrants as more likely to be criminals show he believes he is sworn to serve only some of his constituents in a community where 1 in 5 residents is Latino and 1 in 5 was born outside the U.S. You see, in Blakeman's eyes, those people are the enemy. Those people are the problem. Doesn't matter if they're documented or undocumented, they're all the same. And, you know, don't believe me, believe him. Look at his words, look at his actions. And it becomes quite clear. In his xenophobic rhetoric, rhetoric jeopardizes public safety, including by discouraging community members from reporting crimes or otherwise interacting with law enforcement, which endangers everyone. Latino Justice, PRLDEF, oh boy, it's not anywhere in this story does it say what that stands for. It's committed.
It sounds like legal defense, right? L-D-E-F?
Well, we can.
Defense?
Okay. What's the P for then?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm just deciphering it as you're speaking, but go on with it.
I mean, you know, it's not even something that spells a word where you can say it. I can't say PRLDEF.
Well, it could be another. Yeah, that's true. The acronym's a little bit hard.
We love our acronyms, but there's a limit, folks, a limit. Okay, so Latino Justice is committed to protecting the rights of Latino and immigrant residents of Nassau County, and we will hold the county accountable under our ongoing lawsuit. Carcan et al. Versus Nassau County. Now, Carcan might be a last name, or it might be an acronym, another acronym. I don't know. Point is, there are people fighting back. And there's more. There's more. Long Island residents recently received a mailer in which Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman said, "So long as I am your county executive, Nassau will never become a sanctuary county, nor spend your tax dollars on services for non-citizens." There is a similar statement in his official government biography using the term illegal aliens. We'll get to that in a second. But, you know, when you spend money on people who don't live here, whenever I travel and take advantage of services in another country, aren't I that person? You know, if I get injured and I wind up going to a hospital and basically taking advantage of the healthcare system in that other country because it's so much better than ours, am I not an illegal alien taking advantage of the superior state of their healthcare? Seems like I am. How do I prevent that? What we're running into here is something called humanity, you know, something called the world and how we interact with each other. And we think of each other as human beings first, not as Americans first, not as white men first, but as people, human beings, and we take care of them. Bruce Blakeman is obsessed with this illegal alien concept. And that phrase in and of itself is just so ignorant and so offensive because you're basically summing up who a person is based on nothing more than their immigration status. Why? Why are we so obsessed with... Now, if every person who was not documented was a criminal, as people like Bruce Blakeman like to think, then there'd be a point. And that's why they make that point over and over again, because that's an easy way to get people on your side. These people are dangerous. These people will hurt you. These people will steal from you. Not these people will cook for you. Not these people will clean for you. Not these people are great people to have living next door. No. Because of a form that's not completely filled out or a process that is not yet finished, or even in some cases, coming here before you get that all that going, it does happen, yes. But the vast majority of people who fit that description are upstanding people. And the crime rate amongst people who are undocumented is lower than the crime rate amongst people who were born here. And that is a fact. You know, you can look at all kinds of actions as being illegal. I think being in this country without filling out all the forms is less of a crime than stealing. You know, stealing on your taxes, not paying for your fair share. There are all kinds of offenses that we can look at. There's violence. There's driving drunk. There's child abuse. There are so many things. And with all of those crimes, do we refer to the people who commit them as illegal? Well, why not? They're doing something illegal. Why can't we call them illegal as a result of that? That's reserved only for people from other countries who come here without waiting in line. And by the way, if you do wait in that line, if you do come across legally, how long do you think you'll be waiting for? You know, maybe there's a reason why people try and get in a different way, especially if you're coming from a country where there's rampant violence and crime. They're trying to escape from the crime and come here, and they're being accused of being criminals. It's really sick. So next time you hear the phrase illegal alien, think about what it actually means, what it actually is. What is the illegal part? And yeah, you can point to things that, you know, aren't 100% legal, but let's weigh them. Let's weigh who the better person is and not just do the simplistic conclusion like people, like Blakeman type people love to do and just categorize everybody as the same. They're not. All right, let me continue with this this piece from the New York Immigration Coalition. Communities across Long Island have long been defined by the cultural and economic contributions of immigrant New Yorkers who pay taxes just like everyone living and working in Nassau County. And that is certainly true. They pay taxes, even with the undefined status. They still pay taxes. Isn't that something? And they don't get all the benefits either. Yeah. And they live in fear of being, you know, there are less people playing soccer in fields throughout Long Island, Nassau County in particular, this year of the World Cup coming to this country. There are so many people who are from different countries where soccer is like a religion, but they're afraid to play in a field outside. That's the life they're leading right now. And somehow we think we're the victims? Please. But I'm sorry, I strayed away from the page here. Bruce Blakeman seems much more interested in fanning the flames of hatred than actually representing all of Nassau County's residents by politicizing immigration in his country. I'm sorry, his county. Let me try that again. By politicizing immigration in his county and resorting to explicit dog whistles, he puts the well-being of immigrant families in his county in danger. While Blakeman may be living in a racist fantasy world where his government only serves people who look like him, Nassau County is in fact legally obligated to provide government services to all its residents. We condemn Blakeman's persistent racist and anti-immigrant attacks and call on him to stop using MAGA tactics to maintain his political support at the expense of too many of Nassau County's hardworking immigrant community members. And that statement came from the New York Immigration Coalition. Yeah, so there is pushback. And when you see a shameful piece, like the kind that appeared in Newsday, you have to push back. You have to say something. Now, you know, there are a lot of things that we can point to. There's his armed deputy program. He faced a lawsuit over his decision to form an armed citizen deputy program to deputize private citizens, an initiative that critics condemned as operating a personal militia. That's the kind of person he is. Or how about the executive order banning transgender women from using county sports facilities? Wasn't a problem. Nobody was complaining. It was just something that he felt he had to do. The move was widely condemned by LGBTQ plus advocates, the state attorney general, civil liberties groups as discriminatory and illegal under state law. Blakeman has taken heavily polarizing stances on federal immigration, pushing to deputize police detectives to assist ICE, and frequently aligning with Donald Trump's policies, which his critics argue is more about national politics than local governance. And by the way, ICE has been operating in Hempstead today, so be careful out there. Nassau County's fiscal watchdog, the Nassau Interim Finance Authority, slammed Blakeman for diverting nearly $14 million in interest from the county's opioid litigation settlement fund into the general county budget to prop up spending. While running for governor, Blakeman's campaign was thrown into jeopardy when the state's Public Campaign Finance Board disqualified him from receiving up to $7 million in matching funds. His campaign blamed the board for a paperwork technicality, but critics argue the administrative error highlighted sloppiness. You can't just admit you made a mistake. He never will. His administration has faced scrutiny for sharply increasing spending on outside legal counsel, including upwards of $20 million in a single year, while internal county departments like emergency communications remain understaffed. Critics and public watchdogs argue that Blakeman mismanaged the Nassau University Medical Center, pointing to the appointment of close political donors to its oversight boards, corruption, and a continuing financial crisis at the county's only safety net hospital. I'm almost done here, although I'm not really almost done. Blakeman has faced major backlash from public employee unions and retirees for attempting to force county employees into high deductible health plans and seeking to eliminate retiree health benefits, which were ultimately blocked in court. And finally, during his time in Hempstead town government, allegations surfaced that Blakeman used his public staff as personal chauffeurs and directed workers to perform janitorial duties on the clock for personal errands. So this is not, you know, an upstanding guy here. And for Newsday to run that puff piece just rubbed me the wrong way. So here's, you know, something else that you can look at, you know, just to balance the scale a little bit. He doesn't really stand a chance of winning the governorship, thank God. But Nassau County, what are you doing? How can you elect this guy twice? And look at all the nonsense that he's pulled that county into. I don't know. I don't recognize Long Island. I really don't. And Nassau County, I'm really surprised at.
Well, just remember that there are good people everywhere. There are well-meaning good people all across this country, and let's bear that in mind. There are critiques. This is why there's journalists looking into and investigating and really digging and asking tough questions of these candidates. But it's you know, we have aberrations, we have trends overall, but there are people that beg to differ in every part of this country and in all of the places like this on Long Island. They may or may not be outnumbered from time to time, but I even hold out hope with these larger national splits within the current party in power. I think that it's possible on local issues people will push back as well.
I really hope so.
Well, they're always welcome to other parties, independents, all of it. It's something that they can participate in, and or, you know, they can dissent just like other parties can.
And, you know, dissent should be seen as a good thing. You can disagree, you can argue, you can debate. In the Trump world and the MAGA world, it's not seen as a good thing. And it's something that you will be punished for. And that right away, you know, even if I agreed with everything they said or anything they said, that would bother me a lot. I can't speak my mind. I have to toe the party line. That is Soviet style. You know, that's the kind of thing we're supposed to be fighting against. And it's just really weird to see people just, you know, swallow that and ask for more.
Well, I would chalk it up more to them not understanding or being misinformed. Now, that's not true in all of these issues. Some of these issues people are really passionate about. They've really practiced their talking points, even if their position's a little shaky. But it's their point of view, and okay. But for other issues, I think that the party line, they get a pass from people that are not informed, but rather they're, the facts of what they are for and the people that are making decisions on their behalf are doing aren't as sound and are also drowned out by the kinds of demonization of the other. So when posed with reelecting people like this, they're less apt to question the actions because they don't know what to question because there hasn't been good reporting, and they're for them as a proxy or in any case because they've been told so many horrible things that are in many regards lies. So I don't say it's not their fault, but I can understand because, well, let's say empathy isn't a negative thing in my world, but you know, it's become trendy to lack it elsewhere. But again, I fault them for not finding a variety of resources or just not having paid enough attention to what has been done in their name. But, you know, I mean, it's like it's a lack of responsibility, and so then they're caught like on a back foot in conversation with people who are like, hey, look, this is what this guy's doing.
Do we really expect people to do all the homework and learn everything there is about every issue? No, most people aren't interested in that, but they do hear what's being said to them, and if it resonates, they're going to believe that. And you can't really blame them for being taken in by a fast-talking salesman, which is what politicians are. But at least give the same courtesy to people saying something else. Listen to them as well. And if you really think that they're saying something that's completely wrong, well, then you've made your decision. But if you just hear one side, and this goes for everybody, you're not actually making a decision. You're just being told what to do. So I think we're better than that. I think if people were to really think about the policies and about the people that are being put in office, especially locally, they would come up with a different decision because, boy, some of this really stinks to hell. And it's time we started asking some hard questions. You know, our local representative, Nick LaLota, has not had a single town hall, which is the term for elected officials to meet the people that they represent. This guy doesn't even live in the district. He's never had an in-person town hall. Think about that. You know, you again, Soviet style, you can have something that is online where you're muted. You can't speak. If you ask a question, it has to be arranged in advance and approved. And it's very unlikely even that will happen. Well, you know, in New England, they have these town halls that get quite raucous and loud, and people interrupt each other, and there's a lot of shouting. But it's democracy, and democracy can be sloppy. We shouldn't be afraid of democracy. The people in power now are afraid of democracy. They are afraid of the citizens. They are afraid of justice. That's why they keep making exceptions for themselves, so that they're never prosecuted, so that they don't have to answer to anybody. And that, Republican, Democrat, communist, whatever you are, you can recognize that is wrong. That is unhealthy. That is not what this country is supposed to be all about. We're 250 years old. You know, we should know that by now.
They're afraid, and they're trying to convince us that what it is is not something that we would recognize. This idea of democracy, the things that we're talking about that are messy, that's not actually a part of it. Mm-hmm. And they're quite wrong. Like you said, desperate.
So this creation, we talked about this last week. Trump's created a $1.776 billion fund. All right, I didn't realize it was $1.776 billion, 1776. Ha, I get it. And that really tripped us up on the New York Times news quiz of the week. We said $1.8 billion. It was $1.776. So I should pay more attention.
Yeah, I didn't realize they were being cute.
Yeah, they're being cute. And that should tell you that they don't take this seriously.
Well, and that our reporting is biased because they didn't want to show that little cuteness. They just said it was 1.8.
And we round up, okay? Yeah. So it's 1.8 billion as far as I'm concerned.
I can own that.
Basically, they're stealing money from us, from all of us, citizens of the United States. That's taxpayer money. Using that to compensate their allies, including the violent protesters of January 6th. And you know what? That's not sitting well, even with Republicans. Yeah, they're fighting back. In fact, there was a story, again in Newsday, Trump's $1.776 billion fund gets bipartisan pushback from Long Island delegation. Okay, finally, let's look at a little bit of this. So we have Representative Andrew Garbarino. He's a Republican from Bayport. He says, no, we shouldn't be spending billions on a new DOJ compensation fund. The federal government should be focused on lowering costs and addressing the issues families are actually dealing with every day. Wow, I'm impressed. This guy actually gets it. He didn't say anything stupid. Maybe he did, but it wasn't quoted. He just said those two sentences, and I don't disagree with it.
Yeah, it doesn't even sound like it was painful for him to phrase that.
I would like to hear how he sounded when he said it, but let's go to Representative Tom Suozzi, Democrat of Glen Cove, who basically said the idea of the compensation fund concerned him on several fronts, including the possibility that January 6th defendants convicted of assaulting officers may be eligible to apply. He also said the fund's creation violated the Constitution's separation of powers, which gives Congress the power to appropriate funds. The president can't just decide, I want to spend $1.8 billion, so he rounded up too, the way I want to. The power of the purse is in the hands of Congress. And the purpose of the appropriation processes is that you can't just have a president just go do whatever the heck they want to do. That's why we have separation of powers. And bless you for continuing to use the word heck. let's continue here. New York Democrat Senators Chuck Schumer and Kirsten Gillibrand both vowed to fight to block the release of funds in the Senate. I'm looking. You know who I'm looking for. Oh, I found them. Okay. Nick LaLota actually came out against this. This is his chance to actually say something that I will praise. All right, here we go.
I'm ready.
He said in a statement to Newsday that he would not support the release of funds to those convicted of assaulting officers on January 6th. We shouldn't be using taxpayer dollars to reward people who broke the law. Whether it's Governor Hochul's $4.3 billion spent on migrant hotels, health care, and legal services, or funds going to individuals who assaulted police officers. Wow. Okay, so you somehow managed to turn the bus around and attack immigration policies of the current administration in Albany and use that as your way of pushing back against Trump. That was sloppy, Nick. That was not something I think anybody just believed.
It feels forced.
Wow. Okay, so asked about Lota's statement, Kathy Hochul spokesman Gordon Tepper accused Lota of fear-mongering. Nick Lota shamelessly comparing migrant families to people who violently assaulted police officers on January 6th is outrageous. Yeah, and that's typical. That is just so typical of the way this representative operates. You know, he can't actually come out and say something. He has to always use it as a way of kissing Trump's ass. And that's how it is every single time. Boy, that's pretty pathetic. That really is. He's up for re-election. But, you know, I read this.
Yeah, that means he doesn't have to be there. Like, they could have a different...
Uh-huh.
A politician in there. Imagine that.
Yeah. Hang on, I'm trying to find something here.
But that's the cost, you know? You mess up, you do a bad job, you'll lose your job. That's public office for you. And, you know, the fundraising cycles and all of the campaigning, yeah, it's too much, really. And we're just as mad about how hard it is to do a good job. But not doing a good job, doing a bad job. It's a really good tactic to lose that job because the electorate, I mean, we get to call the shots. And if you're misappropriating, if you're messing around, wasting time, people will weigh in.
Ah, here it is. So basically, the first district is... the district that Nick Lota currently holds. EPA head Lee Zeldin held it before, and they're both pretty much in competition for who is worse. There are a couple of Democrats hoping to take that seat. They're facing each other in a primary. Chris Gallant of Amity Harbor and Lucas Venturas of Northport. Here's the thing, though. Nonpartisan political handicappers, and after reading what I just said from Nick Lota, this should surprise you. Nonpartisan political handicappers are not seeing this district as very competitive. Yeah, after all that. In 2024, Lota defeated Democratic challenger and former CNN host John Avlon by more than 10 percentage points. All right, maybe a CNN host wasn't the best candidate. Maybe that's it. The Cook Political Report rates the district this year as solid Republican. Solid Republican. This is a district that has gone Democratic many, many times. And now it's solid Republican. How is that possible? You see the kinds of things that he says, that he does. You see the fear of the people. You see the refusal to hold meetings and to answer for his actions and for his words. And that's okay with us? These are the people of Stony Brook, of Port Jefferson, of the surrounding area. We're solid Republican now. Even in this day and age, when you see how everything is crumbling around us, the economy, the military, our relations with countries all around the world, how we treat people, immigration, it's all falling apart. And we're solid Republican? How is that possible?
Who's saying that again? The writer?
That's a nonpartisan political handicappers.
People
who do this for a living.
They're using trailing indicators.
Wrong, though. They're not wrong.
Yeah, but from, you know, last year's information, it's been only a year, only 6 months, only how many days?
I can't tell you.
Since we took over Venezuela?
I can't tell you how many times I've held out hope that this district would get it right and been disappointed. You know, how many times have you seen me in front of the TV set on an autumn evening in November?
Well, which TV set? Because we've been through several.
Well, none of them still exist, unfortunately, because of what I was watching. And I did buy the new one, all right? So never mind. I'm just disappointed. And so I can't hold out hope that the people of Long Island will make the right decision again or ever. I don't know what it is. Why do you elect fascists into power? And they are fascists. Because if you go down the checklist, they pretty much check every box. You know, they're afraid of a particular group of people, or they hate a particular group of people. They want you to fit to share those feelings, and they are answerable to nobody. They are corrupt as hell. We can do better. We can do so much better. And ask yourself, you know, the last time there was somebody from a different party in that particular position, how bad was it exactly? Were we talking about the same things we're talking about now, or were we talking about hypotheticals, like what if this happens? Or,
yeah, what were your...
things are getting expensive. Well, things are damn expensive now. For God's sake, have you seen prices in grocery stores, gas stations, wherever you want to go? It's out of control. And somehow we're not talking about that because, well, it's not the Democrats in power, so we're going to just grin and bear it. Give me a break.
Yeah, the grocery store is wild. Like if you went in there and would spend like just under $100, you're spending almost $200 now. It's a lot.
You know what gets me at the grocery store? When you pay by credit card, it always asks you, is this amount okay? And every time I see that, you see me. I say, no, this amount is not okay. This amount is outrageous. But I have to hit yes, because otherwise I can't leave the store. But I want to hear everybody saying that at the checkout counter. No, this amount is not okay, before you meekly go out to your car with your two bags of groceries. So sad.
Yeah, you have to remind yourself you're not the only one noticing. And people are upset. People are going to want to register that at things like town halls. I agree they should be analog, old school, or a combination of things because of the kinds of control that can be done on teleconference. But other than that, people have to just keep raising good opinions, making signs, getting vocal about stuff, and demanding things are corrected to their liking. And this is the recourse, you know, finding out about the issues, going to meetings that are, you know, concerning different policies or different parts the machine of even voting now. I mean, that's something that everyone's taking a good, long, hard look at, is polling places and how to vote and how it is going to be protected. So just the machinations of our government are important, and utility districts and all that other fun stuff. Well, it really does matter.
The latest news of redistricting, seeing states cancel elections, literally,
bump them up.
Literally cancel elections,
yeah,
and reschedule them for somewhere down the road because the Supreme Court gave them the green light to exclude certain minorities from the process. And, not in so many words, but by redistricting so that their vote means absolutely nothing. It's what they've been waiting for. And boy, did they move quickly. But to do that, they have to cancel elections. That's okay with us? Isn't this exactly what the election deniers were warning, saying that they're going to cancel elections before you know it? Isn't this what everybody who believed Trump would never leave power, they were saying that as well? They're going to cancel elections. Well, they're doing it. They're actually doing it. And there isn't nearly enough of a pushback. I mean, there is a pushback. There's a lot of legal pushback. There are a lot of activists that are pushing back. It needs to be 10 times more, though. It really needs to be so much louder. We should not be so scared about appearing to be impolite. I really think we're past the point of civility. But some good news on that front occurred today. A federal court has, it's basically a panel of federal judges, today rejected Alabama's effort to use a new voting map for the November midterm elections, saying that the districts discriminated against black people and could not be used so shortly before a vote. Yeah. Now, of course, Alabama's racist attorney general, Steve Marshall, said he would immediately appeal to the Supreme Court, which basically is a bunch of good old boys at this point. That's going to be something. That is going to be something. They want to get a green light to go ahead and make this this new districting map was seen, I believe, unanimously by this panel of federal judges as an unconstitutional racial gerrymander. Proving that is the key. If they're able to prove that this was done with that intention to minimize the voting power of black citizens, that is what the Supreme Court said needed to be proven. So, yeah, I think it's pretty obvious out there, but I'm not a lawyer. I hope people with greater skills can make the case. And if it does make it to the Supreme Court, it's going to be the first major test of their new standard for challenging congressional maps. I don't hold out much hope that they will act with integrity. I mean, there are some people on the Supreme Court, obviously, that do, not enough. The other bit of good news today, the South Carolina Senate abruptly adjourned today without taking up a new congressional map that aimed to eliminate the state's lone majority black district and cement an entirely Republican delegation. They just didn't act. They just didn't do it. And sometimes not doing something is the most honorable thing you can do. This was the right move because what was happening way too fast. There are all kinds of legal battles and social issues that need to be worked out. Moving so fast basically indicates that it's a crisis that has to be dealt with right now. And the crisis of black people being represented is not something that we should agree with. So South Carolina, I think that's final. That can't be appealed. They just didn't do it. And the deadline is over. Alabama, that's going to be very interesting to see. But it's good to see that there is a reaction, that there is a potential for something to be turned back. We'll just have to see.
Yeah, these things are not inevitable and they are not permanent in our deliberative government. So just remember that, and remember that we are the cavalry. We are going to take care of ourselves. We have to participate and support those who are out there working on it, who are on the front lines, who are making these challenges. And I think legal recourse is fair. I mean, we need as much of that as possible. A lot of this has been pushed through courts, and the courts have been captured in a lot of regards. So it's important to use that mechanism as well to the best of our ability, especially to get it on the record thoroughly at the local, state, and federal level. So absolutely get that place busy. That branch, shall we say.
Here's another bit of good news that's kind of local. Actually, some of you might not think it's good news, but basically the Lake Ronkonkoma fireworks show has been canceled. Now, yeah, I know. I hear people booing and throwing things at the radio. Yeah, but it's good news. I'll tell you why. Basically, it was planned for Saturday over Lake Ronkonkoma. It was canceled over concerns that the pyrotechnics would affect nesting bald eagles. Guys, we have nesting bald eagles in Lake Ronkonkoma. That is the good news. Suffolk County legislator Trish Bergen, Republican from East Islip, who had organized the event, announced the cancellation today in a news release. She cited an Islip town law, which barred the use of motorboats and propeller-driven vessels on the environmentally sensitive lake. As a result, the fireworks barge has no permitted means of reaching the designated launch location on the lake. This difficult decision was made after exhausting all available options to move forward with the event. I'm not sure why they couldn't use a rowboat or something, or a sailboat. Bergen's release added organizers were deeply disappointed that the community will not be able to gather for this year's tribute. Well, you know, I don't think you can get a more patriotic reason not to have a fireworks display than nesting bald eagles, right? I mean, that's a good thing. When I was a kid, I never saw a bald eagle. I never even saw a deer when I was a kid, and I grew up on Long Island. Now they're everywhere, but bald eagles especially, I almost thought I would never see a bald eagle in my life, and now I see them nesting, and
I was walking the other day on a beach in the neighborhood I was around, and there's a ton of them. Like, I think a couple were out fishing or something, and you could just hear the squeaking and screeching and stuff. It's pretty mesmerizing to see the interactions, to see all the different species that are around. It's a lot of hard work. A lot of people have done a lot to conserve, to study, to make sure these protected areas are in good health. And wow, it's fun to see that just all around you, where you're just basically interacting with a species and such a symbolic one, at least for our country as well.
Now, this is an interesting side note here. The show was to have taken place this past Saturday, but was moved to this weekend. I'm confused because I thought Saturday was the weekend, but when the Lake Ronkonkoma American Legion Post and others said fireworks should not be used to mark Memorial Day, which they view as a weekend of quiet contemplation. Yeah.
See?
The American Legion.
New traditions. So, and I think it's I think, respectful, too. Many of the people you're remembering they've gone to a quiet end. I think you should be quiet, be contemplative, be reflecting at this time.
Well, that's for you. I mean, I don't think people who have passed on care one way or another if you're loud or quiet. I think they get enough quiet.
Yeah, but you shouldn't be trying to wake the dead just to celebrate their their fight. I mean,
isn't waking them up kind of a good thing?
Okay,
bring them back to life?
Then I want this group to weigh in on, you know, people who haven't fallen that have problems with loud sounds. I mean,
Winston Churchill. That would be.
You don't need to simulate war to like have reverence
for it. All right, this took a turn. all right. Well, we have bald eagles. That's the good news. That's the good news. And for those of you who don't like loud noises, and for every dog, there won't be fireworks in Lake Ronkonkoma. All right, what else is going on? Iran, this is a great headline. Iran condemns U.S. strikes as a show of bad faith. Yes, you think we're bombing your country, and why won't you talk peace with us? Can't figure that one out. You know, I don't know. Did people just get stupid or something? Because Israel does the same thing. They bomb Lebanon, and at the same in the same news release, they talk about the ongoing ceasefire. You know, this threatens a ceasefire, and we killed three families today. It's not a ceasefire if you're bombing people. It just isn't. And we're not engaged in peace talks if we're bombing the damn country. And they said it was a defensive strike, but they're talking about bombing missile launch sites and mine-laying boats. Okay, well, you know, again, open to interpretation. I don't know how you know a boat is a mine-laying boat, catch them in the act, maybe. But to me, defensive is fighting back when somebody's firing directly at you. That's defensive. Maybe an old-fashioned definition, but...
I think it's insulting to my intelligence community, and it's some sanctimonious trash.
Yeah.
We don't have time for that, actually.
We don't have time for a lot of stuff, but I do want to say there's
so just stop.
I can only have time to read headlines because there are so many good ones. Here's one. This is again from Newsday. Lee Zeldin's EPA. Remember I mentioned former representative Lee Zeldin, now taken over by Nick LaLota. Every bit as bad, but Lee Zeldin has a lot more power now. He runs the EPA.
It's like an oxymoron.
This is the headline. Lee Zeldin's EPA moves to roll back standards on toxic chemicals in drinking water. I like the fact that they made the headline Lee Zeldin's EPA because he should be bearing the responsibility for what his organization is doing. And right now, every headline I read, it's something else that Lee Zeldin is getting rid of, something else that makes things more unhealthy for us, something else that will kill people. And people have to answer for that if they're responsible for getting rid of safety regulations and seeing them as a bad thing. So, yeah, think about that. This is the kind of person you wind up with deciding things for you if you don't think it through on election day.
Yes, please make the chemical sector of my portfolio suffer. I shouldn't be doing so well.
Yeah. All right, so we talked about Iran. We mentioned the World Cup. Let's talk about both now. So Iran is playing in the World Cup. Did you know that? Iran is playing in the World Cup.
Woohoo!
Well, I mean, that's going to be a little tense, I think, you know?
Spicy.
Here's the thing. Iran wasn't really into coming to the United States. So they asked, can we play in Mexico instead? Because it's being hosted in three countries, United States, Mexico, and Canada. So FIFA said, no, you may not. you have to play in the United States. And then the United States said, you know what, Iran, you can't stay in the United States. We're not going to let you stay in this country. So now Iran, for the three games that they play in the opening round, and it's very doubtful they will make it past the opening round, they actually have to commute on the same day from Mexico. Now, you know, teams, basically, they sleep practically in the stadium. They wake up and play the game because they're fully rested. These poor people are going to have to get on a plane and travel to either Los Angeles or Seattle to play a game on that day, because FIFA wouldn't let them play in Mexico and because the United States won't let them stay in the United States. And that is the kind of World Cup we have to look forward to. It's pathetic. It's sad. It's embarrassing.
FIFA foe.
Yeah, and in the 30 seconds we have left, let me also say that, and this is going to be interesting, the Democratic Republic of the Congo is also in the World Cup. And can you imagine, with the Ebola panic going on right now, how this regime is going to handle that? They will handle it poorly, I think. Quite poorly. All right, we are out of time. I want to thank everybody for listening. Please write to us, otw@2600.com.
Support community radio and check out our archive and other programming at wusb.fm.
Good night. See you next week. Stay tuned to WUSB Stony Brook. Bye.
See ya. Like my